Good afternoon, brethren, and everyone that's on the cybercast, good afternoon to you. And it's nice kind of on a, if it's a dreary day outside, to come in here and see the brethren's happy faces. What comes to mind when you think about the new age to come, the kingdom of God? Do you think of peace on earth, financial security, or ending sickness? Do you imagine beautiful mountains and fields, pure, clear waters? Do you imagine sheep grazing in the pastures? Or is it lions and lambs dwelling together? These beautiful images will become a reality one day, but this is clearly not the world that we live in today. We're just a little more than 6 weeks away from the Feast of Tabernacles right now. We're aware that the feast represents in the future that we will be trained as kings and priests to be in the kingdom. But how often do we consider that we also are being trained to be shepherds? When we consider the job of a shepherd, we might think that it involves all those keeping in line, all those dumb sheep together and keeping them together and keeping them happy. And if they do happen to get out of line, the shepherd can just whack them with the stick on the head. But if we make the analogy between sheep and the children of God, we'll probably come to a different conclusion than that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Here we see the great shepherd and the sheep, his flock. Each of us are sheep. Even those called into the ministry are sheep in the sense that they too are part of the flock. We all have a shepherd who is there to lead us and guide us. Let's turn over to Isaiah 40. We'll read verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. We have a loving, kind, gentle shepherd, and he has given us an example to follow. While it's true that we are part of the flock now, we are really in training to become shepherds. We can see from the example of Isaiah that a shepherd has great affection for his flock. He gets to know his sheep. He learns their different personalities. Let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, and we'll read verses 11 through 15. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. Shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. There's a lot we can learn from the lessons of the shepherd and the sheep. In fact, the title of the message today is Lessons of the Shepherd and the Sheep. I'm not that familiar with sheep and what it is like to be a shepherd, but I'm going to be quoting some from a book written by Phil Keller. It may be a book that you've heard of before. It's titled The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. The book explains Psalm 23 as a shepherd would understand it. From there, there are many analogies to be made for us in the church. Let's turn to Psalms 23 and take a look. Psalms 23. This psalm talks about God, our great shepherd, and is spoken from the point of view of the sheep. The sheep, in this case, David, is letting others know that the Lord is his shepherd. Let's read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, God shepherds me. Keep in mind what we read a little earlier about the caring shepherd. Hold your place here in Psalms. We're going to be coming back to it. But in the meantime, let's look at John 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Christ said that I am the good shepherd. He views that as his job. Notice that Christ says that he is the good shepherd and that he loves his sheep. It's a job that he takes very seriously. He would and did give his life for the sheep. I mentioned earlier that there are many lessons to be learned from the shepherd. Have you ever considered the life of Moses? How in the first 40 years that he was trained in Egypt and their society, really the worldly society, and then at 40 years old, God called him out and said, now go to the desert, now go and be a shepherd and learn how to really take care of my sheep. And that's what he did. For 40 years, Moses was a shepherd of the sheep. Let's go back to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. That means there's a constant working relationship, day in and day out. That's what the shepherd does. He is always there with the sheep, leading them, working with them. He's teaching them. Yes, sheep can learn. The statement, the Lord is my shepherd, is showing ownership, responsibility, and control of the sheep, and their lives belong to God. Do we see that in our lives? Do we see that our lives really belong to God? Do we see that we are His and in His control? Often we want to control our lives. We want to shepherd ourselves. Instead of humbling ourselves and realizing that that job's already been taken. We have a shepherd, and we need to relate to him. Again, hold your place in Psalms while we turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. This verse tells us that we have a great shepherd leading us. Hebrews 13 verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, from the book, the shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. On page 20, it tells that sheep require more attention than any kind of livestock. Sheep don't take care of themselves. They require endless attention and meticulous care. We as sheep all need attention and care also. He says it is no accident that God chose to call us sheep. The behavior of human beings and sheep are similar in many ways. Our mass mind, or in parentheses, our mob instinct, our fears, our timidity, our being tender, our stubbornness, our stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. Sheep, they bear the mark of their shepherd. The ear of the sheep are clipped in a certain way, or have an ink tattoo in the ear, or have an ear tag to identify or mark them as belonging to their shepherd. God places a mark upon us, doesn't he? The Sabbath day and the holy days, they're a sign. They're a mark. Also, Christ said that the true shepherd will recognize his sheep. It says that Christ said that the true sheep will recognize their shepherd by the love that they have for him and one another. The concern and compassion they have for one another, we have to love as Christ loved us. And that's a sacrificial love. The kind of love a shepherd would show for the sheep as he lays down his life on the line to protect the sheep. You know, sometimes sheep get a little irritated with each other. They fight, they butt heads. We too, as sheep, have disagreements with one another from time to time, don't we? We can see the analogies, can't we? Continuing to quote from Phil Keller's book, "It's not generally known, but sheep are so timid and can easily be panicked. Even a stray jackrabbit can stampede a whole flock. They'll take off running, and none of them knows why. One sheep gets startled and runs in fright, and a dozen others will bolt and run with it in blind fear, not waiting to see what even frightened them." Haven't we seen this happen in the church? People sometimes panic or become afraid. They presume something was wrong, even though it wasn't. And other times, when there really was something wrong, people ignored it. Sheep are like this. They can get upset or fearful and go charging off, causing themselves a whole lot of problems. At other times, they can follow blindly when they shouldn't. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, "To prove all things." And brethren, thousands of God's people down through time, they followed just because the crowd was moving in a certain direction. They never took time to prove all things and to know what they were really doing. Sheep are like this also. Keller writes that with every animal group in society, there is an order of dominance or status in the group. With chickens, it's known as the pecking order. With sheep, it's the butting order. Generally, a dominant old ewe will boss a bunch of sheep. She will butt young ewes or lambs away from the best grazing or favorite bedding grounds. Succeeding in precise order, the other sheep establish their position in the flock by using the same tactics, butting and thrusting at others around them. Do we see this behavior in the nature of people? Certainly we do. Some try to be recognized. They protect their territory, or they want to get something for themselves. And other people are pushed away. Christ has shown us that if we give to others, he will give to us. We don't get more in the kingdom of God because we may rise in providence in the world today. This having been said, it's worth mentioning that we all should be nice to the widows in the church. Actually, we should be nice to everyone. We don't know who we'll be working under in the world tomorrow. We as God's sheep need to be sharing, not trying to get more for ourselves. And I'm not saying that that's what we're trying to do. It's just, you know, the scripture says it's better to give than to receive. Keller continues, "Whenever I came into view and my presence attracted their attention, the sheep quickly forgot foolish rivalry and stopped their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in their behavior." Aren't people like these sheep? Don't we want to be on our best behavior when someone's watching us? We in the church want to be the same all the time, whether our physical shepherd is watching us or not, because our spiritual shepherd is there with us always. Psalms 23 and 1, verse 1, says, "I shall not want." In other words, I won't go lacking. The sheep knows that his needs will be provided for. He has confidence that the shepherd will take care of his needs. We have to keep cool heads as sheep and not panic. God will take care of us. We've had problems, and God has brought us through every one of them, hasn't he? The contented sheep here is saying that he is completely satisfied with his shepherd. He has total trust and confidence in his shepherd in respect to his physical circumstance. No matter what comes up, his shepherd is there. "I shall not want." In verse 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Going back to Keller's book, he tells us there are several things sheep need before they will sleep or lie down in those green pastures. They have needs to be met. Number one, they have to be free from fear. If they are agitated, worried, or concerned, the sheep won't sleep. Number two, they have to be free of friction with other sheep. If they are at odds with another sheep in the flock, they can't sleep. They won't calm down. Do we see any parallel here? Christ tells us if we have any problems with our brother, we are to leave our gift at the altar and go and reconcile with our brother and then come back and give our gift. If we have problems with our brethren, doesn't it interfere with our relationship with God? It makes it harder, doesn't it? Number three, sheep have to be free of parasites. And number four, sheep have to be free of hunger. These things that sheep need are things that we need in order to lie down also. Number one was fear. Fear can hold people back. If we focus on fear, it becomes a god to us, and it can separate us from the true God. But if God is on our side, or we are on his side, then what really do we have to fear? The second need was freedom from friction, get them two F's in there, with other sheep. We didn't choose who our fellow sheep would be, did we? God did. He put us together. And the scriptures tell us that we are to prefer one another. It's just like our family. In our families, we all have different personalities, but we all can learn how to get along and love each other. The third need was freedom from parasites. For us, that would be those things that creep up on us, that sap our spiritual strength and strives to overcome us. Finally, number four, the need was a freedom from hunger. Sheep need food to be settled. And we as God's people, we need to be fed spiritually. Many of us can recall a time in the church when we were spiritually hungry. Thankfully, that's not so anymore. Continuing in Psalms, verse 2, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." This implies a couple of things here. First of all, the shepherd does not take the sheep by raging rapids where they could fall in. And second, the water is calm, it's clean, and peaceful. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." We understand that this is a refreshing, that the inward man is renewed daily. In his book, Keller talks about a condition that sheep can sometimes get into. Sometimes a sheep will get itself turned over on its back in a little rut, and it can't get up. The sheep is wailing and flopping its legs. It's completely vulnerable for any kind of predator that might come along. Lying on its back, feet up in the air, trying to get up, but it can't. Sometimes it will bleat a little bit for help, but generally it lies there, lashing about, and frightened and frustration. Have we ever felt that way, brethren? We can get ourselves into places that we can't get out of. There have been or will be things with every one of us where it takes our shepherd to get us out of them and put us back up on our feet. We need him to restore us. Keller says that if the owner of a sheep in this condition does not arrive on the scene in a short time, that a sheep in this condition will die. This is another reason why a shepherd looks over his flock every day to see that they are all able to be upon their feet. And if one or two of them is missing, often the first thought to flash in his mind is the concern that one of his sheep may be down on its back, and he must go and set it on its feet again. Now that's the heart of a good shepherd, isn't it? That's God's heart or love toward us. And since we are shepherds in training, that should also be our heart and our love toward our fellow members, our fellow sheep in the flock. You don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it tells us that God will never leave us or forsake us. So if we find ourselves on our back with our feet sticking up in the air, we need to cry out to God. He can set things right. God can set us back up on our feet. Psalms 23, verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a fact that sheep don't know the right way to go. In Jeremiah 10:23, it tells us that people were like this too. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Notice in verse 3, let's go back, notice in verse 3 of Psalms 23, that this isn't just any path. The path we need to follow our shepherd down is the path of righteousness. If we don't follow this path, we won't end up where our shepherd is. His path is the path of righteousness. Looking at verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In the summer, the sheep generally are moved to the high country, and they will often pass through narrow valleys and mountainous trails where predators are often watching. Wolves or mountain lions may be sitting there waiting to snatch away a young ewe or lamb. Let's turn over to Psalms 121. We'll read verse 4. Psalms 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. As God's people, we also go through some difficult situations, don't we? But we have a shepherd who doesn't sleep at night. He's always awake. He's always alert. He's always there with the sheep. And he takes care of us. And he watches out for us, even though we go through those dark valleys. Now back to Psalms 23, verse 4. For thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff are two separate instruments, and they were used for two separate purposes. The rod was a weapon usually used for defense. It was a short stick with a heavy end, and if the shepherd was accurate in throwing it, he could use it to kill a wolf or a mountain lion that was coming toward the sheep. Occasionally, the rod was thrown at the sheep, but it was thrown in a way that would not be harmful to them. Most of the time, this was not the tool used in disciplining the sheep. The other tool that a shepherd carried and used was the staff. The psalmist said that your rod and your staff give me comfort. The staff identifies the shepherd. It had the shepherd's crook or the hook, like the one they use, you know, to pull you off stage. So I'm looking to see if anyone's over there. The staff was used for the care and the management of the sheep. It symbolizes the shepherd's concern rather than his authority. The rod symbolized the authority. The staff symbolized the shepherd's passion and concern for the sheep. It was used at times to draw sheep together. Sometimes, if there was a little lamb that had got away from its mother, the shepherd would take the staff with the hook, and he'd hook it around the little lamb and put it back with the ewe. Also, this staff would keep the scent of the man off of the little lamb. This was good because sometimes the ewe would reject the lamb if it had human scent on it. The staff was used to guide the sheep. If they got a little off, the shepherd could use the staff to nudge them a little and get them back on track. These two tools gave the sheep great comfort. 23 verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's think about this for a moment. We know what it means to prepare. And a table, of course, represents food or eating. In warmer weather, the shepherds would take the flock to graze in the mountains. But the shepherds would go up before he led his sheep there. He made preparation before he took them up there. He made preparation by finding where the good water was, by checking for evidence of predators or enemies of the sheep. He did those things in advance. Our shepherd does the same and even more for us. Sometimes even before we know it, that we have a need, God has already taken care of it for us. Our enemies, the predators or wolves, they're always watching us. Continuing on, verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In biblical times, oil, sulfur, and spices were used to anoint the sheep. They would put it on the foreheads of the sheep. This would help prevent the sheep from being bothered by certain insects, and it protect them from contagious scalp diseases, because the sheep was all the time butting or nudging up against one another. I think we can see the analogy for this. The value of the anointing that we have with God's Holy Spirit, that it protects us and it helps us in every way. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is a lifelong confidence that the sheep have. They've expressed this toward their shepherd. He, our shepherd, wants us to be in his kingdom probably more than we do. The scripture says his thoughts are on us continually. Continuing in verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brethren, we have a mansion that is being constructed for us, that will be given to us in the kingdom of God. When Christ returns, He's going to give us jobs and responsibilities under Him to help restore His planet and to help shepherd His sheep. Let's turn over to John chapter 6. We'll start in verse 65. John chapter 6. Starting in verse 65. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no other shepherd, brethren. Christ is the chief shepherd to follow. He has the words of eternal life." In Psalms 23 and verse 6, when these sheep say they are going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, they are happy sheep. They are contented sheep. There is much that we can learn from sheep, and we need to always remember that the heart, the love of our shepherd, is focused toward us, and that our spiritual welfare is his chief concern. He loves being our shepherd. For a final scripture, let's turn over to Luke chapter 12. We'll read verse 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."